The seventh word on the cross. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Please be seated. In his magnificent farewell address at the Last Supper, our Savior reminded his disciples of his divine origin and his divine destiny. Most solemnly, he declared, I came forth from the Father and have come into this world. Again I leave the world and go forth to the Father. The time of his going forth is now at hand. It is the ninth hour, or according to our reckoning of time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus is on the point of expiring. As he lifts his thorn-crowned head to heaven, a violent throb of fearful agony convulses his tormented body, and with a loud voice he cries out, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he breathed forth his soul, and then slowly bowed his head until it rested low and motionless on his breast. Miraculous events instantly followed. The earth quaked as if in terror. The great curtain in the temple was torn through the center by an invisible power. The rocks burst asunder. The graves opened and the dead came forth to mingle with the living. Thus did the Savior impart emphasis to the power and significance of his seventh and last word upon the cross. He uttered those dying words in a mighty voice as a final manifestation of his divinity, to make it obvious to all about him that no human agency had power over his life and death except by his permission, to have us clearly understand that he gave up his life freely, since, being by nature sinless, he did not come under the decree of death, which is the penalty of sin. He cried out with a loud voice to draw attention to the infinite love he bore us, for greater love than this no man has, that one lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus gave up his life not only for his friends, but for us sinners who were his enemies. He spoke those words in a loud voice to encourage us to place our confidence in his power when we are afflicted with sorrow and tribulation, and that we might recognize how inconceivably painful for him was the separation of his noble soul from his sacred body. Far more painful than it can be for any human being. Finally, it was a loud cry of triumph. He died not in weakness, but in power. His death was the last decisive act of victory over sin, Satan, and hell. Reflecting on the mystical power of that dying voice, can we refuse to believe that Christ on the cross is truly our God? Can we hesitate to dedicate and consecrate our lives to the service of such a good Master who loved us with so boundless a love and voluntarily submitted to death that we might have life eternal? Can anyone doubt that he will support our weakness with omnipotence when we battle with violent temptation, when we stagger under the weight of our cross, and when we struggle in the throes of our death agony, from which he removed the bitter sting by his own death? Let us ever have in mind the consoling promise he made to St. Paul when that great apostle feared lest he was lost. Fear not, be of good cheer. My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Let us now consider his last words. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He addresses God by the loving title, Father, to teach us the sacred inviolability of truth and to instill into our hearts unwavering trust in God's providence. Often in life, in the face of opposition and persecution, he asserted that God was his Father. This truth he proclaimed with his last breath. So, too, must we be ready to make every sacrifice in the practice and in the defense of our holy faith to the last moment of life. In every trying situation during his public life, Jesus called on the name of his Heavenly Father for courage and strength to execute his eternal decrees. So too must we lift our minds and hearts to our loving Father in heaven in every situation, convinced that whatever happens to us is foreordained by an all-wise and all-powerful providence which arranges all things for our ultimate welfare. To his Heavenly Father, Jesus commends his spirit. What an important lesson for us! Throughout life, we worry and fret over our reputation, over the prosperity of our business, over the temporal welfare of our family, over the condition of our health, over the successful issue of this or that enterprise. But are we concerned about the salvation of our immortal souls? Do we make it the only business, the all-important and all-absorbing occupation of our lives? Seek first the kingdom of God. It is into the hands of his Heavenly Father that Jesus commends his spirit. How beautiful and inspiring is this act of submission and obedience of the Son to the Father. Jesus, as God, had no need of committing his soul to the care of the Father. He too was almighty. And we, poverty-stricken, impotent, tempted and sin-laden children of our Heavenly Father, despise his inexhaustible treasures, blind ourselves to his unlimited power, disregard the all-loving protection of his extended hands. Let it not be so in the future. In life and in death, let us imitate the example of our dying Savior and never fail to entrust our souls entirely in the hands of God. How shall we do this? By fidelity to the duties of our state of life, by practicing the Christian virtues at all times, under all circumstances, cheerfully and conscientiously. Catholics first, last, and always. Always, worthy children, faithfully serving our Heavenly Father. To whom have you committed your soul in the past? Were you the slave of the world, the flesh, and the devil? If so, repent before it is too late. For it is a dreadful thing for an obstinate sinner to fall into the hands of the living God. On the other hand, how blessed are they who die in the Lord. They die peacefully in the Lord who, following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, lead a penitential life. It is impossible to lead a penitential life unless we are ruled by our holy faith. In this brilliant light, we shall see ever more clearly the infinite perfections of God and our absolute dependence on Him. In this lively faith, we shall grow strong in our love for God and in true detachment from the world. We shall relish prayer, receive the holy sacraments frequently, and bear our cross with cheerful resignation. They who live in this manner may rest assured that they will breathe forth their souls with sentiments in their hearts and words on their lips, similar to those of Jesus when expiring. Father, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. They will awaken in eternity to hear these consoling words of the Master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will place thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Receive the crown of life. Amen. Prayer for a happy death. Please kneel. O most merciful Redeemer, my conscience so often warns me that nothing in life is so certain as death, and that nothing is so uncertain as the time, the place, and the manner in which it will occur. Even now, the dreaded moment may be close at hand for me. Nevertheless, I still cling so tenaciously to the fleeting things of this life, and fail so seriously to prepare for the next life. But now, thou givest me the grace to realize my folly. No longer will I wait for death in the vain hope that all will be well with me then. No longer will I live as if there were no strict account to render to thee. No longer will I delay recommending my soul to thee. I do so now, and I will continue to recommend my soul to the infinite mercy at all times. I am filled with misgiving when I reflect how remiss I have been in prayer, how seldom I have given thought to eternal truths, how negligently I have served thee, how carelessly I have fulfilled the daily duties of my state of life. With all my heart, I now repent of all these sins. Through the infinite merits of thy sacred passion and bitter death, enlighten my mind so that I may know what is necessary to prepare fittingly for death, and strengthen my will with thy divine grace, so that with all diligence, I may do whatever thy divine will requires of me. Be gracious to me for the remainder of my life, so that I may have no terror of death and may be acceptable to thee when I stand before thy judgment seat. If the saints trembled in their last moments at the thought of the strict account they were about to render to thee, I, a poor, miserable sinner, have still more reason to tremble when I reflect on that all-decisive moment. But I place all my hopes in the infinite merits of thy precious blood. I confidently hope for the full remission of all sins and the eternal happiness in heaven. O Lamb of God, sacrificed on the cross and dead for me, as a victim of love, grant by the merits of thy death that I may love thee with my whole heart while life remains. Thou hast died for love of me, I will also die glowing with love for thee. Thou hast given thyself wholly to me, I will give myself wholly to thee. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Thou hast shed thy last drop of precious blood for me. Suffer not that through my fault all should be lost unto me. O Jesus, I love thee, and with the help of thy grace, I hope to love thee for all eternity. In thee, O Lord, I have hope. Let me not be confounded forever. O Virgin Mary, patron of a happy death, teach me how to recommend my spirit to the care of thy Son, and always to say with great fervor, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. Amen. Please stand. Wounded with his every wound, steep my soul till it hath swooned, in his very blood away. Be to me, O Virgin, lest in flames I burn and die in his awful judgment day. Christ, when thou shalt call me hence, be thy mother my defense. Be thy cross my victory. While my body here decays, may my soul thy goodness praise, safe in paradise with thee. Amen.